You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
Some people believe that if they live a good enough life, they will get to heaven. But the Bible says this will never happen.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. The International Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded transcript of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by the Reverend Wallace Schultz, Associate Lutheran Hour Speaker. It is our prayer that it will bring hope and joy to your life.
Almighty God, as we see our sins and our mistakes, and as we see Thy righteousness and Thy holiness, it is our vain hope, O Lord, then to earn Thy love and mercy by our own efforts. Yet Thou hast clearly told us in Thy holy word that even our best efforts are as filthy rags. And so, O Lord, we plead, be merciful unto us, and do not treat us as we deserve. But for Jesus' sake, cover us with His sin-cleansing and life-giving blood, fill us with the power of His resurrection, and plant in our hearts Thy eternal hope. In Jesus Christ's powerful and intercessory name we pray. Amen. This week, Protestant churches around the world will remember the birth of a distinguished reformer. The New York Times, in a startling front-page article, stated that more has been written about this individual than any other person except Jesus Christ. The name of this man, the leader of the Protestant Reformation, is Martin Luther. Martin Luther was born 500 years ago in what is now communist East Germany. And so extensive and so far-reaching have been the actions and writings of this reformer that major universities such as Harvard, Princeton, Yale, Stanford, and others have professors and scholars who conduct specialized studies of Luther's revolutionary ideas and contributions to society. Some scholars extol the reformer's contribution to the understanding of economics. Others emphasize his writings on ethics, and still others highlight his contribution to government. In the end, however, one must agree that Martin Luther's greatest impact worldwide was made in the field of religion. Martin Luther grew up in a rural home like most other children of his day, and his well-intentioned father wanted Luther to become a wealthy lawyer. But as he matured, Luther was deeply troubled in his heart. In spite of anything he tried to do, in spite of all the religious things that he did, Luther was never certain that God was pleased with his life. He always felt that God was going to eventually punish him for his mistakes and his failures. And so when he was 21 years old, Martin Luther decided to enter the monastery. He studied to become a monk, and he thought that this would help remove his spiritual anxiety. Martin Luther prayed for hours, but nothing seemed to help. His conscience continued to torment him mercilessly. One day, his superior suggested that he study the Bible, and at first, Luther refused. But then he reluctantly agreed, and he began his studies. Little did this reformer realize the impact that his decision would eventually produce both on him and the future of Western society. In 1513, Martin Luther began to study one of the books of the Bible called the Psalms. Then he examined the book of Romans, and after that he studied the New Testament book of Galatians. His studies were a constant challenge, and at first, no immediate earth-shaking breakthrough occurred. But the Holy Spirit was indeed at work. Slowly but surely, Luther began to see a new picture of God. God was not only just and righteous, He was also loving and merciful. And on the basis of the clear teachings of the Bible, Luther understood that in Jesus Christ, through the Savior's death on Calvary's cross, God's demand that all sins be paid for was satisfied. Yes, the blood of Jesus Christ satisfied God's demands and requirements of full payment for the penalty of your sins and mine. And now, as a result of this payment of Jesus Christ to the Father, there is hope. And now all men, including Luther, who by God's enabling power trust in the sin-cleansing and life-giving blood of Jesus Christ, these obedient followers of the Savior, even today, need never fear the punishment of a holy and righteous God. Yes, Martin Luther finally realized the Bible's clear teaching that a person is justified, that a person is made right with God by faith in Jesus Christ and not, and I repeat, and not by anything that a person could ever do. This was the revolutionary turning point of the powerfully transforming Reformation. This clear Bible teaching was a powerful force which has given an anchor of spiritual assurance to millions of previously uncertain and troubled hearts. Dr. Roland Bainton, who has served for many years as a distinguished church historian at Yale University, vividly described Martin Luther's experience. These are Luther's words Dr. Bainton used, and I quote, "Night and day I pondered," Luther said, "until I saw that God justifies us through faith." Then Luther further confessed, "I felt reborn, and I felt like I had gone through the open doors of paradise itself." And now for Luther, the entire Bible took on a new and special meaning. And for Martin Luther, this fantastic discovery changed his entire life. It gave him a reason to live. It gave him real meaning for his day-to-day earthly existence. But most important of all, this Bible teaching provided a reliable, soul-stirring, Christ-centered heavenly hope. Ladies and gentlemen, all of this is indeed exciting as history. But in a sense, it is only history. And we can honestly ask, why would anyone today be interested in what happened 500 years ago simply because of this? This same spiritual assurance, this same solid meaning in life which Luther discovered in the Bible, this same reason to live each day is so desperately needed in our generation for countless weary and depressed souls. Most people would be absolutely shocked if they only knew the spiritual struggles and uncertainties of those around them, their neighbors, their classmates, and their fellow workers. These uncertain citizens include thousands of 40-hour-a-week workers. And many of these same people say that they believe in God. And yet, as incredible as it may seem, many of these same individuals do not enjoy going to church. Their religion gives them no joy. It is one big burden. It is something that they reluctantly feel that they have to do. Many of these people feel religious, but they are not sure that they are right with God. These uncertain people hope that someday everything is going to turn out right when they die, but they are not sure. Their conscience keeps reminding them of the clear teaching of the Bible that there will ultimately be a day of judgment. And so also scores of individuals are now living in rest homes and on hospital beds, desperately seeking the assurance of heaven. But many of these same individuals have one big problem. Their Bible knowledge of God's plan of salvation is so deficient and so lacking that they live each day in agonizing turmoil and worry instead of living and rejoicing in God-inspired peace and heavenly assurance. Yes, many college professors, many bankers, and many others try to give the impression that they have all of life figured out. But I can assure you, from numerous personal experiences, that this is not the case. Scores of individuals are just floating around in life. They have no spiritual or heavenly certainty. They are doing and saying what society expects them to do and to say. Outwardly, they are giving the impression of confidence and direction of life and a certain future, but inwardly, they are filled with terrifying uncertainty. Many could never say with absolute assurance where they will go when their life on this earth is finished. And this is what this brief radio message is all about. 500 years ago, you see, Martin Luther was plagued and tortured by these same uncertainties. But then he discovered in the Bible the key to life. God the Holy Spirit enlightened his mind, and in the Bible Martin Luther discovered God saying this, and I quote, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one should boast." Yes, forgiveness of sins is not earned. It is a gift of God, and it is available to you also today, no matter who you are. The assurance of heaven is not based on man's unreliable and man's unholy efforts. The Bible clearly states that all of our righteousness are as filthy rags, period. The trustworthiness and the assurance of heaven is built only upon the changeless promises of God. The blessings of God are neither earned nor deserved by man. They are totally a gift of a gracious and loving Heavenly Father. And these gifts are graciously given to all who repent, all who turn from serving the things of this world. These gracious gifts are promised to all those who trust in the redeeming power of the Savior. And no one, the Bible reminds us, had better boast about the assurance of going to heaven because of the life that they have lived. For if they do this, they will most certainly not be there. Last year, a man robbed a Denver bank, and he stole $3,000. The robber was not caught. 1 year later, however, the bank began receiving anonymous checks. And according to a newspaper story, this guilt-burdened man wanted to clear his accusing conscience by returning the money. Yes, God does indeed expect those who have stolen or those who have defrauded others to repay the damages. But even this act of sincere contrition cannot, no, it can never in any way restore a sinner's broken relationship to God. This can only be done by the blood of Jesus Christ. In the Bible, the book of Hebrews, God's will concerning this matter is clearly proclaimed, and I quote, "Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness." This is what the Holy Scriptures unreservedly teach. It took, it demanded, the innocent blood of Jesus Christ to pay for your sins and mine. You see, when Jesus Christ died, God's just demands were satisfied. The prophet Isaiah proclaimed it this way when he said, "But the Lord was pleased to crush him, putting him to death, and as a result of the anguish of his soul," the Bible states, "God will see it and be satisfied. By his knowledge, the righteous one, my servant, will justify many." Isaiah then concludes, and I quote, "Because he poured out himself to death, he bore the sin of many." Yes, based on the authority of God's word, the Bible, let us rejoice. Let us not be sad, let us not be uncertain, but let us rejoice. For God has provided a way for you and a way for me for salvation. He has given us an escape from the damning curse of our terrible sins. The blood of Jesus Christ is the answer. It is the only answer. The death and the triumphant resurrection of Jesus Christ are our only hope. And now let me read again directly from the Bible, Ephesians chapter 1, and I quote, "In him, in Jesus Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace." Again, I read from the Bible, "The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin." And so, ladies and gentlemen, as we remember the 500th birthday anniversary of the great reformer Martin Luther, let's be honest. Martin Luther was wrong. He had tried very hard to earn God's love and mercy. Oh, sure, no one can argue the fact that he was sincerely devoted. In fact, in our society, before he was converted, Martin Luther would have been considered very religious. But he was lost. He was headed straight for hell. But then the Holy Spirit stepped in and Martin Luther turned to Jesus Christ. He tried no longer to earn God's mercy. A transformation took place and Martin Luther had to repent. He had to turn from relying on his own good works to get him to heaven. And when Martin Luther turned to Christ, faith replaced fear, Peace appeared and anxiety disappeared. Uncertainty was removed and confidence was established. Guilt was washed away and forgiveness was realized. The certainty of heaven, the rock-like assurance of paradise itself, became an immediate reality. Is it any wonder that Martin Luther then said that it was like being born again, like entering the very doors of paradise itself? But let us also add this. The new life of Luther was like that of any Christian today. He still had to pay his bills. There were problems in his family relationships, and they had to be faced. His work had to be done just like we have to do ours, even after we become a Christian. His problems in life did not necessarily disappear. Yet, his new hope in Christ gave him a new power and a new attitude, which enabled him to cope with the challenges of every hour. And this also is what happens when anyone comes to faith in Jesus Christ. The situation in life does not necessarily change. In fact, each day may still be filled with struggles. Sometimes when people become Christians, their situation even becomes worse. And yet, life can itself be bearable with Jesus. It takes on a new meaning, and even the most difficult conditions, even at the tragic news of loss of life itself, there then exists the joy and the comfort of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so as I close this brief message, let us remember that in his early years, Martin Luther lived in uncertainty, depression, and even despair. But then God the Holy Spirit spoke to his heart. And when Luther repented from trusting in himself and his own good works, a new life began. He received a will to live. He received strength to cope with the difficulties and the trials that he was facing every day. And the Holy Spirit planted in his heart a rock-like certainty of eternity forever with God. And so, ladies and gentlemen, and young people once again, it is my sincere prayer for you today that when God the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart at this hour, you will not turn him away, and you will not remain casually indifferent. No, don't trust in yourself anymore. Trust only and alone in the sin-cleansing and life-giving blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you do, you will experience a new reality, a new life of forgiveness, a new life of confidence, a new life of strength, and a new life filled with an eternal hope. God grant this to you for Jesus' sake. Amen.